Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, November 10th, the year of our Lord, 2024. And this is the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. It is indeed a joy to welcome you here to the podcast. I pray you are well. And I pray that this time together will be a time of reflection, a time of renewal and healing and peace. So with all these things in mind, let's do what is our custom and practice here at the podcast to begin the podcast this time together in a spirit of thanksgiving. And we celebrate what is good in life by taking in the breath of life. So let's do that. Let's take in a big, deep breath. And hold on to it for a moment and receive it as a gift and then let it go and take in another, hold on to that one and let that go as well. And in this cycle of breathing in and holding and letting go, let's call to mind those things in our lives that are beautiful and true, and those things that are worthy and faith-filled, the people that we know best and love most, our favorite spaces and places, the holy ground in our lives. Call these things to mind and invite them into your thinking. And as they line themselves up before you, thank God for each and every one of them. And in this spirit of thanksgiving and praise, let's begin together in worship. Please join me in the call to worship as printed in your digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin on the left margin of where you found today's podcast, just below the line. It says sermon notes above it. Just click in there and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. We are called to bring a new understanding of God, that God so loves the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are called to bring a new hope in God, that God gives us new life. We are the light of the world. We are called to follow the commandments and the law. The law of God is to love and to love one another. Come, let us be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Come, let us love one another with the love of God. Let us join together in our love of God to worship and follow Jesus. friends, our gospel reading this week comes from Mark's gospel in the 12th chapter, verses 38 through 44. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearances say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. The poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. We give thanks for the gift of your word, alive and living among us. We pray, O God, that you'll meet us here as we gather around your word. We pray that you will save us from distraction, save us from misinterpretation, so that we might truly hear what it is you're saying to each and every one of us, and that we could respond. We pray this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, friends, we return to Mark's gospel this week as we are nearing the end of the liturgical year. Just a few more Sundays. And so I think it's fitting for us to just leap a little bit backwards as to where we were the last time we read from Mark, where we remembered the story of the blind beggar, Bartimaeus, who stood by the side of the road, sat by the side of the road as Jesus was passing by, and he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those around him, the more polite members of society, the more well-placed, they wanted him to shut up, but he didn't shut up. He cried all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus noticed him, and he called to him. And the ones who had been trying to shut him up then encouraged him. And they said, "Get up, take heart, he is calling." Called into Jesus' presence, Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind beggar says, "I want to see again, restore my sight." And so he does. And he doesn't go away. He responds by following Jesus. We compared and contrasted that response to the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" as it's asked by Jesus. When you go back a little bit further, before the story of Bartimaeus, there's the story of Jesus and James and John. He poses that question to them. What do you want? And they replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. And Jesus, I think, patiently and lovingly responds to them, but sternly, essentially, as I interpret it, you don't know what you're asking. I'll give you places of honor, but it won't be like you imagine. A place of honor in my kingdom is to be in a place of service. You'll go to bed last, you'll eat last, you'll give all that you have for the health and well-being of others, all to the glory of God. Well, Mark's telling of the story carries on, and we come to the grand moment when Jesus makes his triumphant entry into Jerusalem and all of the fanfare that goes with it. And then we encounter Jesus as he clears the temple, as he's had enough of what he sees of the corruption and the misinterpretation, the vanity of the temple and the practices there. Which leads us to this wonderful story that we have today. The story of the widow's offering, the widow's mite. This woman that we don't meet by name, she represents many women just like her, many people just like her, people with barely enough to get by day to day. People who have learned a total dependence upon God. That they have nothing to lose, and they have just about nothing in terms of earthly possession to give. And to consider this story in the shadow or in the light of the story of Jesus asking the question, what do you want me to do for you? Or in light of Jesus cleansing the temple and referring to it as a house of thieves, a den of robbers. He's tired of the show. He's tired of the facade. He's in Jerusalem. The earthly ministry is coming to an end, and he knows full well that will end in his suffering and death. And he needs to draw their attention to what is real and what is true. And what is real and what is true looks a lot different than a lot of people in that time and place and here and now would imagine. For him, he says, look, you think that this one over here, this one of religious authority, you think that is the model of faithful living. But he says, beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces. They get the best seats at the synagogues and places of honor at the banquet. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Do you look at that? I think of this conversation with James and John, who think, oh, won't it be nice when we're in a position of power and we can wear the nice robes and get the good seats and people won't be spitting on us and calling us names? He says, be careful, because that's all an act. Their faith is not about God. That show, that robe, that oratory, it's about them and their ego and their pride and their sense of self-righteousness and superiority, and it's a trap. It might feel good while you're living in it. It might feel nice to have a good view at the theater, a nice spot in the synagogue, But if you've traded a portion of your soul for that seat, what is it worth? No, he says. Do you want to see what real charity looks like? Do you want to see what real kingdom wealth looks like? Did you notice after the four or five went through the line to make their offering and made sure to make a spectacle of the handful of coins they threw into the bin? Did you see that woman? You saw her, hunched over, beaten by the world. Prayerfully, I could see it. I could see it in her eyes and the movement of her mouth. She put in her two coins. Next to nothing, but everything she had. Because that's her life of faith. She has nothing earthly to lose. And so, her faith, her relationship with God, is her wealth. That's the wealth you aspire to. That's the charity you aspire to. It's not a commentary on a percentage of giving. It can be interpreted, I suppose, in some way like that. But it's about the heart of the giver. That the charity's not a show. That how big a number one can put on their tax deduction to the government is not the point of the charity. What size a plaque you can put on the doorway of the new wing of the building. It's back to, what does it mean to be first in the kingdom of heaven? It means putting down your prideful self-interest, your need to be liked by everybody, to want to have a particular position. It's humbly coming up to the coffer of the treasury in giving absolutely all you can give out of gratitude, out of a thankfulness to God, not in response to your earthly blessing or riches, but out of pure thankfulness that the two pennies that she holds in her hand, she understands to be, as the song goes, pennies from heaven. That even these two coins, modest and small as they are, even these are just passing through her hand. And so into the treasury they go, as a true act of faith. And so what about us? Because I can read this and be very convicted as one who occasionally prays publicly wearing a robe, and well, sometimes I can go on and on. I need to listen to this teaching. I like to think of myself as a man of charity and humility. But is that always true? How much can I give? And beyond the financials, the tithes and offerings, when I wake up in the morning, before I do anything else, look at emails or text messages or the daily news before I pour that first cup of coffee, can I get myself into a position where my first thoughts, my first words, my first prayers are, God, I give this day to you? What would you have me to do? Or that is to say, to ask the question Jesus asks us, what do you want me to do for you? And to make that the directing question of every day. To pray over it. To pay attention to it. To enjoy daily bread without slipping into excess. There is tremendous, rich, good news in this reading. And I'll pray you spend some time with it today and during the week ahead, because you find it is rich and wonderful. And as I've said, very good news, to which I say, Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we pray. And again, we thank you for your presence here with us. And we pray, dear God, that you will continue in the days and weeks ahead to enlighten us and convict us of the words of Jesus. That indeed we will beware of the scribes in their need for respect, in their taking of the best seats and the places of honor. We confess that in ways great and small, we fall into that trap. And so as we are humbled and we stand before you in all honesty and faith, the best that we can muster, we pray that you will hear this confession, and then upon hearing it, we pray to humbly receive the forgiveness and the grace that you offer. And we give great thanks for this and pray that you will nurture in us the faith and the heart of the poor widow. And you know each and every one of us, God, our joys and our concerns. I pray over this good country of ours, the United States of America, in the wake of the most recent election. Some folks are thrilled by the results and others are heartbroken. Help all of us to remember that you are God and that you are in control. Remind us every day to offer you the prayer that your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And beyond this national setting and things that are big and noteworthy, beyond the good seats and the accolades and the honors, we pray that you meet us right where we are. And that you would lean in and listen to us as we offer you the prayers of our hearts, as we share with you the things that we're excited about, the weddings and the new opportunities, the new babies, the move, the vacation, whatever it is that is lighting us up inside right now, oh God, I pray that you'd hear these prayers. And for the other side of that list, the things that break our hearts or cause us to be afraid. And we come to the point where words just fail. And what we understand that we need to do is to be silent. To simply be silent in your presence and to listen for your voice. Meet us here, we pray. We break our silence. We give you thanks, O God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. We give you thanks for the gifts of your teaching through your Son, our Lord Jesus, and for those who have preserved this gift for us up into this very moment. And so we pray you'll hear us as we say together a prayer that he taught his first students. Hear us as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, I pray that as we prepare to go our separate ways, we will do so in a spirit of genuine faith and charity, that everything we have, every good and perfect gift that comes from above, we're prepared to return it, to hand it out as a gift into the world, inspired by our good God to do just that. Our God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who sends you out to bless the world and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.